friends, and welcome to the 45th episode of All New Snap Judgments. As always, I'm Roy Rogers, and joining me today is about, 157th less of Aaron Glazer. Our appendixless Aaron Glazer is joining us live from New York right now. Aaron, my friend, how are you doing as you recover from your surgery, which I know concerned many of our loyal listeners and loyal viewers?
So I'm old and everything hurts.
Just like the metagame right now, Aaron. Look at me, make it a part of the commentary here. But I just want to say, in replacement for many of our loyal listeners and loyal viewers, we're all glad to know that you are making an excellent recovery. And we are very, very, very happy that you were able to get the help you needed in time, because appendicitis is very scary. So we're happy to be, I'm happy to be recording this show with you right now. And I know our loyal listeners and loyal viewers are glad to be hearing your voice.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So to chime in now that this show is now again 157th less Glazer, who is going to fill in that tiny bit of Aaron that is missing? Who are our very special guests, Aaron?
We are joined first by the one and only Super Duper Ben, streamer extraordinaire, as soon as he is in the mood to get back to it. How you doing, Ben?
Doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on, and I am excited to talk a little bit of Snap.
Absolutely, our pleasure. And where could our friends find you, Ben?
Over on Twitter and Twitch. It's just all at Super Dupa Ben. Two O's on both of the Super and the Dupa. And that's hopefully I'll be getting back to things within the next, I'd say, week or so.
Woohoo! Great. If it's while I'm home, I will happily pop on stream and hang out. We are also joined all the way from Spain. It is yes. Lufku9. How you doing this late at night?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. It's a bit late. It's like almost 3 a.m. here. So it is a bit late.
Well, we are very, very, very grateful to have you on here, Lufku. How can our loyal listeners and loyal viewers become your loyal listeners and loyal viewers?
The people can find me in Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Twitter and YouTube is Lufku9, and in Twitch there's an underscore after the 9. So Twitch is Lufku9 underscore, and the rest is just Lufku9.
Awesome, awesome. All right. Now, a quick reminder, friends, of where you can engage with us. We are found in the whatever Elon Musk is calling the what used to be the Bird app. Currently, I think it's called X, but who knows? Maybe it'll be called Z before we know it. Our social on there is at SnapJudgeCast. We are incredibly grateful each and every week to be the official podcasting partner of Marvel Snap Zone. And to support Marvel Snap Zone and support us, please go out and join their Discord. Their Discord is awesome. It's amazing. It's the best large Discord in all of Marvel Snap. So please click the link in the description of this episode, either below if you are watching the YouTube video, or in the description of the episode in your friendly neighborhood podcatcher. So again, we are so, so grateful to be the official podcasting partner of Marvel Snap Zone. Please join their Discord. If you would like to email us and use the internet's equivalent of snail mail, somehow Glazer does a good job. You know, again, he's recovering from surgery. He has nothing but time on his hands. Please, please email him. He will sift through that kick spam. Long day. And get back to you with an email if you email him at snapjudgmentspodcast@gmail.com. But most importantly are our final two social medias. Now, of course, there was a little bit of a hiccup, but Gunny, T, and others filled in for Glazer while he was out. But almost always, there's 6 days a week, brand new Snap takes on our YouTube from Aaron. Aaron, if our loyal listeners followed the YouTube at Snap Judgments Pod and became our loyal viewers, what would they find on the YouTube right now?
I mean, nothing super fancy right now. 7 days a week of decks. We've got all sorts of top 10 and top 20 decks because most of the top of the ladder sends them to us. So that's nice.
Awesome, awesome. Friends, if you have enjoyed Glazer's content over the last months and years, so, I mean, we can't quite say years now, year, I would suggest supporting us on patreon.com/snapjudgments. You know, Aaron had surgery this past week. It's a great time to show him some love, but in a totally selfish way, you can join the Patreon so you can get in before the second season of the Snap Judgments League kicks off. There'll be more details about that soon. So there's a lot of reasons that you should join our Patreon. One, purely selfishly, you get into the awesome tournaments that Glazer, Gunnity, and others run through our Patreon. Selflessly, you can support Aaron and the awesome content that he makes while he recovers by supporting us on Patreon. So you can either be selfish, selfless, either way, supporting us on patreon.com/snapjudgments is value, as degenerates say. Anyway, let's move forward here to US Agent, our new very exciting card for the week, continuing the month's theme of Marvel Snap is really sad that the Captain America movie didn't come out this month. Our 2 cost 3 strength character, Series 5, 6K tokens. Has an ongoing. 4, 5, and 6 cards here have -3 power. Ben, what do you think of Captain America at home?
Oh, boy. It's interesting. I'll say that much. But I think currently where we stand with the meta, it's unfortunately not good enough. I think that we sit in a spot where... no, you're good. So I think we sit in a spot where we have huge power dumps. And I think we've kind of been in that spot since Blob came out some time ago now. And the meta just kind of hasn't adjusted in terms of lower power decks, just kind of comboing and getting higher and higher and higher. It's more just types of decks like Hela and also Thanos and stuff like that, that just slams a bunch of power onto the board and people can't catch up. And unfortunately, I think -3 power to 4, 5, and 6 cost cards in only one lane is just kind of meh. Doesn't really hit home. But I have seen it work in a couple decks. It's just not consistent enough, I would say.
Lufku?
So, my thoughts are, he's meh. He can be useful in some decks, not great, great decks. He has his uses. I opened for him, but I got the bug where I saw the spotlight variant.
Oh no.
And I opened 3, got Jeff, tokens, and Mirage, and then I just couldn't do anything else. So I won't get, until they end up doing whatever they want to do, I won't get to this agent. Not really hyped about the card, just wanted to try him. I'm a big Cerebro player, so I wanted to see how he works in C3 and other stuff. And yeah, overall, just a meh card, just a fun card to try and mess around with some meme type of decks.
So through some... I mean, pure luck. I decided to use tokens on him because I didn't want the Jeff variant, and I am anti-Mirage as a horsey, or Mirage with a horsey. So I bought him with tokens, didn't even realize there was a problem, was already playing him. He's firmly mid. He's like a fine card. There's nothing wrong with him, but he's not a must-have. There's occasionally going to be metas where he's really solid, but right now, I mean, he's just a card that certainly exists in Marvel Snap that you'll see one out of every, like, 50 games and be like, oh shit, did I really lose to US Agent? Because, like, you're never going to remember this card exists after this week.
I think he gets better when Valentina comes out, when there's going to be these, like, 6 cost cards that are coming out earlier and have their power already naturally reduced. So US Agent is, like, an interesting tech card if she ends up being busted. And that's kind of where I sit with US Agent. I think best in like when utility 4, 5, and 6 cost cards are being played that have slightly lower power. And I think, like, he may actually have a decent, if you can tag the Living Tribunal lane and maybe have a couple other places of, like, interaction, like, he's pretty solid there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the best combo deck right now is not Living Tribunal, it's Hela, right? So he's just kind of a little bit on the sidelines, but I definitely think that this card has potential as an interesting tech card. But I think in a meta where, again, a great point that Ben made, that sort of, like, number go up is kind of like what it's all about, either in the form of sort of mid-rangey versions of that with Blob or dishonest versions of that with Hela, he's going to end up being weaker. But when specifically going comboing off in a specific lane, like Living Tribunal pushes you towards, like Wong decks push you towards, like the US agent is really a lot more powerful. And I think that if we move in that meta that direction, and maybe they'll make some changes towards Hela in the future, because as we'll get to, they've shown they'll make some extremely aggressive changes to seemingly staple cards. So I'm interested to see what US Agent does. Other thoughts that folks have about Captain America at Home?
I was just going to say, I think it's unfortunate, because I think the card has been overshadowed by all the problems that have been going on this week. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of gotten a punch to the gut there. And I think people don't even want to see this card, I think, at this point. And we'll see in terms of compensation. Obviously we don't know right now and what's going to happen with all of that stuff. But, I just think that if people end up getting this card for free, or, you know, who knows what's going to happen in a couple days, maybe people will really enjoy it and get to test it and play with it a little bit. But yeah, just going back to my point, I just think that there's just, especially with Hela running rampant right now, it's not going to get you wins in top tier games. It's just not going to.
I also feel like we're seeing a rise in Luke Cage again, which really hurts. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I'm seeing a reasonable amount of Luke Cage and a lot of mid-rangey bullshit. And I think when Valentina comes out, we're just going to see more Luke Cage, so you don't have to suffer the downside. So I think that that's going to continue to hurt US Agent as well.
Mm-hmm. All good points. All right. Lufku, Baron Zemo, Red Hulk. Last week we were unkind to these cards with our guests, Ree and others. So what do you think of the other two cards that have come out so far this month?
Okay. Baron Zemo, first time I tried it was yesterday. Yesterday was the first time that I tried Baron Zemo. I had fun with it. I had fun with the card. Didn't really try mill decks before, so it does take some strategy to plan out everything to use a mill deck. And Baron Zemo is a big help in those decks. I mean, it's a fun card. I also get the hate because you're just stealing your opponent's cards. You're just destroying them. You're just pissing them off. So I understand the hate on Baron Zemo, but I think it's a fun card, new type of card, because I don't think we have any other card that just recruits another card. There's nothing like him. And I want to see what else can they do with that recruit stuff. I'm interested in that. And as for Red Hulk, he's just a big card. He's big stats. You can bait your opponents to think you're going to play Red Hulk and then just play something else. Also, yesterday I was trying another deck. Also with the new Sandman, that deck had Red Hulk. You can use him to make your opponents think that you're going big on one lane and then just go wide with Doom, or use Leader to overpower them with their play. So he's useful sometimes. Sometimes he's just bait card. That's Red Hulk for me. A big damn card.
Ben?
So yeah, I will give my thoughts on these two because, very lightly, just because I don't own them. So, but from what I've seen from Zemo is it's extremely annoying to play against. and that's mostly because half the time I would say mostly when it's pulling something out of your deck, it's one, you want that card, obviously. And then two, it usually is going to mess with some sort of combo that's in your deck, and that's not fun. So it's a very good card in terms of expanding on a whole new archetype that we haven't really seen much of, and I love that. I really hope we see more of this, just because I feel like there's such a niche amount of archetypes that are good. There are a bunch of archetypes, but there's maybe, what, 3 or 4 that are competitive. So I really love that. I think that that is what is so exciting to me with Baron Zemo, is that it just creates and establishes Mill as a viable option now. Red Hulk, I don't see how this card doesn't get nerfed soon. I think that it's just, it's the blob problem I think we had before, where it just gets too big. I think that having a 19 or 20 plus power card by the end of the game is going to eventually just outpower most things, especially on turn 6, unless you're playing Hela, of course. And I think the biggest, as Lufku kind of mentioned, I think the biggest surprise to me with Red Hulk, again, I haven't played with it, but playing against it, I think that the biggest thing for that card is that your opponent can see that card going up. And every time you see that card and you see that happening, it is triggering in your brain and in your mind that it's always right there. And it's very, very key, because like Lufku said, you can go wide with Doom. You can change the way you're going to do things. And mostly everyone is thinking, oh, they're slamming that Red Hulk down. No problem. Like, it's a 619. Why wouldn't they? And that can steal a lot of games. So, again, all my perspective coming from, unfortunately, not owning these cards because my key resources are a little low.
Spotlight Cash Bug Resolution?
Oh. Live?
Are we getting in live? Are we getting a live response here?
We are in Snap News. We have a solution and a compensation plan for the recent Spotlight Cash issue. Good. Thanks for your patience. We've been investigating, testing, and preparing the fix. Later today, we'll be rolling it out. For players that have been impacted, that began on the whatever and whenever it began, all keys will be refunded. Players will keep all rewards received from the previously spent keys. The cash will now accurately display track previously earned rewards from the system. Additionally, we are sending 500 to all players that have unlocked access to Spotlight Cash feature and logged in while the bug was active. So basically, you get all your keys back, you keep anything you got, and if you want to open again for US Agent, feel free. And then you also get 500 gold.
Yeah, it's pretty fair.
Oh, yeah. I should have just opened. I'm so mad at myself. I should have just done it.
Alright, well, Lufku is rich now.
Yeah.
I got a free div, Mirage, and free Thompson tokens, so that's nice.
Yeah.
There we go.
Look, I think that's a reasonable fix.
No, I think it's a perfectly fair compensation.
Yeah. Look. Okay. So I wish that was in my video for tomorrow. Oh, well, I did my video this afternoon so we could do this because...
Well, you could do an emergency
I need YouTube a massive short amount of sleep, right? And I'm sleeping like 17 hours a day. All right.
Well, understandably. All right.
So wait, I have a Zemo thought. You know what Zemo taught me? Zemo taught me how good Cable is. Cable is so good. Like, Cable should just be the 2-drop du jour in a million decks. I don't want your lowest cost card. I want a random card that tells me what your game plan is. I can play it or not later. I just have this extra card. And now, like, half the time, I'm just disrupting whatever combo you want to do. I love Cable. Cable is amazing.
How many Hellas have you gotten with Cable recently?
Quite a few. it's like, Cable is mean.
He can, like, be sometimes mean
you just get a Red Hulk, and you're just like, huh, look, now I have 2 Red Hulks.
I mean, Cable is a card that I think you... It's a very polarized card. You remember when you get the Hellas and the Red Hulks, and you also remember when you get the Yondus and the...
Look, honestly, for a 2-3, I don't super care, right? Like, I just don't play that card.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, I think we want to move forward here and talk about, I think, well, now the Spotlight Cash issue has been resolved, and we had a lot of controversy over that, but that's done, so we'll put that in the trash bin of history, excuse me. Instead, we'll talk about what top 3 most impactful patches in the history of Marvel Snap. Huge deal. All right, I'll go through each one of these, and folks, we're going to take them one at a time. Alioth has been changed to a 6/8 and is now on reveal. Remove the text from all unrevealed enemy cards here. Complete rework. Look at how they massacred my boy, the big cat himself, Zabu. Probably my most played Marvel Snap card of all time, is now on reveal. Until the end of your next turn, your four-cost cards cost one less. Ugh.
Don't forget, he got a power, so that makes it up.
Oh, that's true. He did get a power. It does make up for the card. Never mind. We'll talk about individual things here. And then our guest last week will be very sad. Sandman, now a 5/7. Okay, big buff. But on reveal, players can only play one card next turn. Lady Deathstrike got a rework. She's now 5/7. On reveal, destroy each card with 3 or less power. So she now just defaultly destroys 3 or less power cards. A sort of interesting side grid. I think she's the most interesting of the changes here on like a design and sort of where the incentives are card. And then Strong Guy just basically got a straight buff here. He's now still a 3/3, but ongoing. Plus 6 power if your hand has 1 or fewer cards. I think we'll see more Strong Guy. I'm actually pretty excited. I think this makes the design way more interesting. We don't, I think, need to spend a lot of time with him. But let's start with everybody's favorite card, Alioth. My sweet, sweet variants for Alioth. Much less useful now, right, Ben?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think they've killed him officially. Time will tell. I think we have a lot of games to be played before people, and of course, top players are still going to be finding ways to make him useful. I think he's great for, if someone's slamming down, like, in, I mean, if they're even playing Invisible Woman anymore, if they're slamming that down, you can still throw that in there and you're probably going to be okay, but are you going to win the lane? Because the whole power issue now that those cards are still going to be there. But you're mostly hoping that this is going to hit Iron Man, Tribunal, Onslaught, those types of cards. But it's unfortunate. Probably one of my favorite cards that has ever come out. I know a lot of people hate it. They really dislike it. I personally don't think, I think it was in a good spot. I don't think it should have been touched. That's just my opinion. But yeah, unfortunately, I mean, plus 6 power, great. That's fantastic. But it unfortunately doesn't cover what's going to most likely drop in the lane that you're looking to get rid of. So,
Lufka.
So Alayo, before it was just a card that most of the time you're just gonna expect. If opponent has Prayo, you most of the time are expecting Alayo. So you can play around Alayo, and that just made him less useful because there are a lot of ways to get into the Alayo lane without actually getting Alayo. You have move cards, Vision, Jeff, cards like Doom. So Alayo wasn't, I mean, he was hated obviously because they just destroy all of your cards. You can't do anything about it. Now, Alayo, it has some nice power because 8 power is not horrible. And it's way worse, that's for sure, because if the opponent just plays a big card, Alayo, opponent plays Magneto, you Alayo, it's still a 12 power card. You don't, opponent doesn't have any of the disruption that Magneto carries, but it's still a big card. Hulk, same thing. Red Hulk, I think Red Hulk keeps the buffs, so it's still a huge card. It's good against decks that rely on playing a lot of cards or smaller cards, because you just make them useless. But against big cards, Alioth is just not great.
I like the Alioth change, but I think he either needs to have 10 power or cost 5. I think a 5/7 with this ability would be absolutely great. I would love it. I think it just needs to be able to be played a turn earlier. You need to be able to decide if the turn you want to do the thing is 5 or 6. And I think that goes a long way to fixing Eliath. Or he just needs to have more power so that he's not, like, so clearly a power loss in so many different matchups. I think with either of those, he's fine. And I get it. They want to give us a break from it. I didn't like the design of Eliath. I don't know. It just... I didn't lose to it a lot. I just didn't think it was fun. And it's not especially a thing I wanted in Snap. Everyone always says, but now you always want to throw a parody, which is, like, I guess fair to an extent, but, like, Hella doesn't give a shit, right? Your bonus for being ahead going into the last turn is that you are more likely to win the game because you're ahead going into the last turn. I don't think you need a life to say, because I'm ahead, I just win. I don't think that's, like, necessarily a beneficial thing for the game. I ultimately like this life change. Do I love it? No. I think that they missed, but I think they missed a little bit on purpose for the time being.
Eliath is one of those cards that I think at the highest level is theoretically extremely interesting, because the idea of priority being, like, the most impactful thing at the end of the game is an interesting place to be. I think it's a pretty toxic card, though, to be an everyday experience. A lot of people, because I think one of the most satisfying things in card games, where I disagree with Glazer, is, you know, just because you... Glazer knows that just because you're ahead on turn 5 does not mean you're guaranteed to win the game, right?
I didn't say guaranteed, I said more likely.
More likely, but it doesn't even mean you're more likely, though. Like, I think, like, one of the most satisfying things in a card game is to seemingly be in a losing position by one simple metric. My opponent has more power, and then steal the game from them by playing all these cards or doing the power play or whatever. And Eliath just said, fuck that. So, like, and I get that's, like, a really satisfying, like, feeling that Eliath really denied a lot of players. So while I think Eliath was a card that in the abstract, I was cool with existing, and I actually really liked the way it played with priority and made priority, like, really matter for more than just Shang-Chi and a few other cards, but Shang-Chi being the big one. But as an everyday experience for the median Snap player, it just was toxic and needed to go. But speaking of toxic, aka the opposite of it, Zabu, my man's murdered, right, Lufku?
Yeah. Zabu now is just not great. He still has some uses. He still reduces the power. You can play a 1/3 or a 4-cost card on 3. You can just use him one turn. Nice thing is that he works with Wong, Kamar-Taj, and cards like that, so you can get cards reduced by 2. So that is nice, because he's an unreveal, so he triggers twice. The power, I joked a bit about putting Zabu in C3, but I think he won't be even good there. Because C3 doesn't really have a lot of 4-cost cards. Ghost Rider, and that's the only one that comes to my mind right now. Zabu is just... Right now, he's just not great. But they said that Zabu was just gonna be like that for some time, because they wanted to see how everything flows in the meta without Zabu, so they can readjust him later. That's what they said in the patch notes. So I want to see what they do with Zabu next, because he is a good card. Right now, he's just not great.
I think this is a long time coming. This card, when it first came out in the season pass, I don't even know how long ago now, probably a year ago.
A little more.
Yeah. I mean, this card shared a 60% meta share in all decks. It was the number one card. It was put in every deck you used it, mainly because there are so many 4-cost cards that are good. And that's why this card was so, I would say, prolific in the last year that it's been around. This change, I think they said it's going to possibly be temporary. They just want to kind of put a hold on it for now, and I kind of appreciate that, because I want to see how the meta shifts about without this card being around. However, like Lufku said, I think that it's still a beneficial card when you can play this on two and still play a four cost on three. However, anything past that, I think that this card is kind of just bad now. I don't really see, I mean, yes, you could play it on five and play your, you know, your 2-4 cost cards on six, but you are thinking at that point, just playing Zabu on five is simply not good enough. And I don't see a combo with playing Zabu and then a 3 cost card on five being really competitive at all. So it's unfortunate. I think that the card is definitely going to see less play. But like I said, it being the number one card for so long definitely needed to be hit a little bit.
Sure, but timing? Mm-hmm. Like, it's completely unplayed right now. They just released Hope, which took basically all of its meta share, and then they reverted Angela to being a 212. So, like, that was the rest of its meta share. Like, Zabu was completely unplayed. They're not learning anything because Zabu was not being played right now. Like, all they did, the only place Zabu had a real home right now in the meta was the occasional Tribunal deck, which is basically fine, and, like, Black Knight decks, which were so far from meta. Like, if you want to learn about this, there was 8 months, right? Where, like, this change would have told you things that you could have learned from. And all we're going to learn right now is, did you know people aren't playing four drops except for Shang-Chi? Like, outside of Shang and, I guess, Enchantress, right? Like, you've got specific build four drops, but there's not, like, good four drops to play. Oh, by the way, also, Lufku, when you think four threes, you should probably think Shang-Chi.
Yeah,
it seems like an important one for the you know game.
Shang-Chi is 4x because let's not forget that he blows up,
but not in Cerebro. He's 4x plus 2.
True.
So I think Zabu is like I think this is a fine change to make for a couple months, but an extraordinarily stupid time to make that change. If they had made this change like in January, I think it would have completely shaken up the meta and made for a really interesting meta game. But like, if I look through my decks right now, there's like none that Zabu consider. Like, and anything that like Zabu would be in, I can just run Ravonna or Psylocke and just be fine because I'm not trying to do any of the Zabu old school decks where I'm trying to go like Shang on another four at the end. They already killed that when they killed Darkhawk. Like, I don't. I understand what they want to do. I don't understand how they're trying to do it and what they're actually going to learn from it.
I think just to kind of butt in there really quick, I think too is what's big is that it seems like they're veering away from four drops slash adjusting current four drops to be either three drops or five drops, which is also affecting Zabu so much at the moment. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. This change probably should have happened 4 or 5 months ago, 3 months ago, literally any time other than now. But I think that they just kind of need to see what would happen if they did make this change. And for whatever reason, they pulled the trigger on it now.
Yeah, but how will they know? Like, what happens when you change a card that's not really seeing play at the high levels, and then it doesn't see play at the high levels even more? Right? Yeah. Like, what have you learned?
I mean, you've learned that this is way too harsh a nerf on Zabu.
Yeah.
I think something like your next four-cost card, which means literally the next time you play a four-cost card. So if you don't play one on three, you could play one on five. You could play one on six. You could, like, it's just whatever the next four-cost card you play gets reduced. And easy to remember because Marvel Snap can change the cost of things automatically. It's not like a game like Magic or something like that where you have to remember for a huge number of turns that you get it. I think that would be a better change. I think, I mean, look, I'm on the record. I think when Glazer and I did our like 2023 in review, I said Zabu was the best card of 2023. And I'm still like on the record that this card is like really, really good. I think though, in the end of the day, I actually think Zabu has ended up being a healthier card than an unhealthier card for Marvel Snap, because there's a lot of four cost cards that are bad as four cost cards, but are pretty interesting as three cost cards. And that's like a certainly interesting sort of perspective and design space that they have. I get though that Zabu creates a headache for the designers forever, which is another thing I've said, because it's just a powerful, powerful, powerful effect, and cost reduction is always powerful. But I wish they had been like less brute forcey, because I think Zabu is actually a card that is less offensive than Alioth, because you don't lose directly to Zabu. You like have to become a better player to realize that you lost to Zabu and not to the cards that was played off of Zabu, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's like a really important experience to players to go through. So I think this like harsh nerf on him was both like undeserved for the reasons that you folks have laid out about his meta share, but I also just think it's just too ham-fisted to be good for anyone. So I'm hopeful that they will come up with a more elegant solution to him in a long time. But speaking of ham-fisted, we have the Sandman change. I believe, who went last time? I'm sorry. Was it Lufku or Ben?
I think Lufku went.
Okay, cool. So Ben, yeah. Tell us about what your feelings on Sandman.
I love this change. I think it's, I think it makes Sandman, I think Sandman's always, not always, but I think I've always, in my mind, seen Sandman as needing a little bit more power. So I've kind of been waiting for him to get a little bit of a boost. And I think losing the whole static ongoing ability is honestly fine. There are situations where you play Sandman and you pull him out with like, I mean, back in the day, we're talking, you know, Lockjaw, pull out Sandman on turn 3 or 4 or, you know, however you want to do it. But just a simple, and I've tested this recently in the last, you know, day or so, just playing Sandman on 5 and then playing like leader or just something big on 6 is almost usually enough to just win a game right now, unless you're playing against Hella, which unfortunately seems to be the most used deck at the moment. So it might feel not so great right now, but I think that in the future, hopefully when the meta shifts again, and we hopefully maybe see a Hella change, and with Hella being kind of, you know, on the outskirts, hopefully that Sandman will be a little bit more prevalent. But right now, again, I just don't see it being very consistent in terms of the top tier decks that we're seeing. It's unfortunately not, obviously you can play Sandman on 5, but a lot of people are playing Red Hulk right now. So unless you have that, and or unless you have leader that you're playing, you're probably, you know, not going to make it. But I like the change. I think it switches things up a little bit, and it's a card that, I correct me if I'm wrong, don't think has really been touched at all. So I like
Sandman?
Yeah.
Sandman was a 4-1, then a 5-5, then a 5-3, then a 5-4, and now this.
Was it really? I don't remember Sandman's it being changed.
Sandman's gone through a whole journey. Started as a 4-1.
Was it a 4-1 in like beta or something?
Nope. It was a 4-1 until Hitmonkey season. Hitmonkey season, it was buffed to a 5-5. And then it became sort of meta for a while. And that's when the Patriot decks came to take it out. They nerfed it to a 5-3, even though Patriot decks already sort of knocked it down. And then a couple months later, they were like, well, it's really bad at 5-3. So they made it a 5-4, which it stayed to until now.
Okay, well, forget what I just said. but anyways,
I remember Sandman being a 4-1 was like, it should have been a thing, but it just wasn't because one was too little.
Yeah, it just never really kicked off. Yeah, I guess I just don't remember it really ever being changed. Maybe it's just been a 5-4 for so long that I maybe have just, it's eclipsed my mind. But yeah, I like the change. I think it's overall better for the card. It's better at a 5-7 with its honor reveal than it was at a 5-4 with the ongoing it had.
Yeah.
Okay. My turn. Mm-hmm. Sandman.
Yeah, do it.
I like the change a lot because old Sandman just, it's way too restrictive. Just you can't do anything. If there's a limbo, you have those 2 turns, or if you ram the Sandman, then it's just a 1 card per player type of game, and that's just too restrictive. Now that he's a 5-7, you can shooty Sandman and just make him a 5-14, and then you have turn 6 to do your play. Yesterday is when I tried Sandman. My Felicity Lade rank was kind of bad because a few days ago I did Cerebral Challenge and C1 was a nightmare to pull off. So that just made my Lade rank go way low. I was in high 20s. I started with a Sandman deck that I made with my chat and I went up to like 14-13k, which was pretty nice. Also, for some reason, last night a lot of people were running Agatha. I don't know why, but a lot of people were running Agatha just for no reason. But yeah, right now Sandman just allows you to do more stuff. And like I said before, I had the three 6 cost cards in my deck, Leader, Red Hulk, and Doom. Red Hulk, if you just need to lay down a big power card, the Sandman lane, you're most likely going to win it, because a 14 power Sandman, and unless they Shang-Chi, and if they Shang-Chi, they just play Shang-Chi, and maybe Jeff if they have Jeff, so you can just play for the other two lanes. Doom just goes wide. And Leader, if you are winning and play Leader, most of the time you're going to win. Unless something that happened to me yesterday, a opponent played Leader and then played Odin on the Leader. So in one location, it ended up being 4 Leaders and I lost that location by 1. And that made me lose the game because Leader copies Leader. But overall, Sandman just helps. I mean, he's a better card now, in my opinion. He's a healthier card too. And yeah, that's pretty much my opinion on Sandman. Just a better card.
I don't have a Sandman take. I don't care that this card exists. It's fine for some people to hit Infinite. It was fine for some people to hit Infinite with yesterday. It's not a meta card. It wasn't a meta card yesterday. Like, Fathor Newman is still happy, and I like Fathor Newman, and that makes me happy that he's still happy that he can still play this card. So, all right. Cool. Hmm.
I think this was a huge mistake. I think it transformed an archetypal card into a tech card. In the long term, I think Sandman, I think Glazer is right that Sandman was not like suppressing anything at this point. There have been times when Sandman had different stats that he was better, but I think they had basically found the ideal place for that design, which is like, if you really want to do a Sandman deck, you can do a Sandman deck. More power to you. You want to be like Fathor and say, I'm going to build my whole streaming persona around that. You can. If you want to ignore Sandman, you can. And they just kind of ideally hit that. And then turning it into sort of a one-turn tech card is not really, I think, ideal. I think you want these aspirational cards in the game and these cards that cause you to play Marvel Snap differently. And I think that just turning him into a one-off effect was a mistake. So that's my awesome, awesome hot take. But Ben, Lady Deathstrike, do you have any thoughts or feelings about her?
It should be Lufku first, right?
Oh, okay, Lufku, I apologize. Okay.
So Lady Deathstrike is one of the 6 cards right now that I don't have. I don't have Lady Deathstrike. My thoughts. Lady Deathstrike was just a fun card to do combos, go crazy with shooty stuff, and then just Zola, clean the lanes. That isn't really effective because you can go just one shooty up to 8. Wasn't really effective because a lot of them, the extra numbers are just running big cards and the Deathstrike's not gonna destroy them. Right now, she now has the top. She has a top. She just clears out the earlier cards in the game. She has bigger power, so that's not bad, but she's just a weird change, I'd say. It's just weird. I haven't tried her, so I can't really give a lot of my opinions on her, because I haven't used her.
Yeah, I would... my point of view on this, I do own the card. I've probably played the card maybe 3 times in my life. It's weird. I think they just are fishing for some way to get this card more play. And they're just making a change to make a change. It's the same case as Adam Warlock, where they made him a 5/5, and look at that, he still sees no play. I think this card, this is kind of how you guys talked about Sandman. To me, this is not a meta card, and I don't think it's going to become a meta card. I think it's funky and weird and cool to pull off weird combos for content. But other than that, the text change and the rework doesn't really change much for me, because at a 5/4, it was seemingly doing, I mean, basically the same thing that it's doing with the new ability. It's just got a little bit more power.
Cerebro 7, bro.
Hey, you know, you got to pull out that C7. That'd actually be probably fun.
Just not in your Cerebro lane.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I think that it's just...
Unless you have Cerebro and Mystique and you're ducking under Shang.
Wow. Ooh, big brain. Wow.
Big brain plays.
Yeah. No, but I, like I said, it's a fun, goofy card, but ever since it's released, no one ever has really cared about this card.
I have a use for it. I have two uses for it. Ava, it'll be out Sunday, I think, sent me a deck that he's been having a lot of success with this.
Ooh.
Basically, because Ava's a jerk, he's Valkyrieing things and then death striking them.
Oh, I did hear about that.
Which is kind of hilarious, but that won't be like a long-term viable thing. It's stupid and it's fun, and Ava's enjoyable. Its real use, I think, excuse me, is
Annihilus decks.
What? No, sure. But no, like, you want to be able to use it offensively, not just defensively, if you're going to play a card like this. I think it's your backup Annihilus. It lets you play your Sentry on 4, and then you can drop this on 5. They're going to assume you're Annihilus and probably play a bunch of, like, lesser-powered stuff in that lane to try and, like, clog it, right? And then you can sort of just blow that up. Now, that's not a junk Annihilus list. That's, like, the older Annihilus lists that were, like, Bounce and so on. So it remains to be seen if that can exist, because, well, those decks either played Bounce, which is fine, might be doable, it's worth checking out, or they played Zabu and Womp Womp. So, I think that, like, I think she's going to be good as your backup Annihilus, because a smart opponent will have to deal with that void, and now you have two ways, and it's hard to play around both of them.
All right, we don't need to talk about Strong Guy. It's just a straight up buff.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. Strong card. Cool, cool. Let's move on to Marvel Snaps. Hey, do you remember that Marvel had a movie about the Eternals that came out during the pandemic season? All right, we got Gilgamesh. He's a 5/2, series 5, 6K tokens. What does your 6K tokens get you? On reveal, +2 power for each of your other cards in play with increased power. Whew, I'm out of breath saying that one. Lufku, what you got for me?
So, as I understand Gilgamesh, he works with cards that buff another cards, not cards like Blue Marvel, Patriot, and stuff like that. Just
as far cards as we
like
know.
Cards like Surfer. So I think he'd find a not bad home in Surfer decks where you Magic, then play all your Surfer, Brute, stuff like that on turn 6, and then just drop a Gilgamesh. With Brute, with your Brute, Gilgamesh is a 5/8. Your Magic also makes him a 5/10, which is not bad. Then you're probably gonna have Shaw, just 5/12. So it's gonna be hard because you need to pull off certain combos to make him go big. But also, if you play him in a Wong lane, turn 7 with a big Surfer combo already in the board, and he can get to a nice power. I don't think he's gonna take over the meta and just make crazy things, but he's not bad, I'd say.
I was thinking about this card earlier, and I was just, apologies if you can hear my dog barking in the background.
We like dogs. Yeah. We're a pro dog podcast.
Got home, so they're excited to see her. But anyways, I was just thinking of this as like a combo this into a situation where it's eventually going to be a 5/9, so it can't be shangable, which makes it really, really good. or put this into some sort of like bounce combo deck where you are constantly affecting cards and on turn six end up playing something like Kitty Pride and then Gilgamesh on turn six. So that it doesn't even matter at the end of the game when you're playing a five drop that ends up being, you know, 9 power, 11 power, 13 power, depending on how much you can manipulate it. But it's kind of tough to tell right now if this card will cut it in the current meta that we're in. But then again, this is June, so things are going to change drastically, I would assume. But I think this will find a home somewhere in some sort of like, could even be in a Surfer deck or anything like that. But I get worried if you play this on five and not on six, it just becomes an easy Shang target again.
Negative Surfer, baby. Mm-hmm. Negative Surfer.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, I'm going to play the shit out of this negative Surfer. It's going to be like a 30 power card. You've got your Sebastian Shaw. That'll be a 30 power card. Like, I'm going to play the shit out of that deck. I don't think this is real, but this sure is fun. That's going to be the theme of this month. I think there's like one card, maybe two, that are like real meta cards. Mm-hmm. But like, I bet you I could hit infinite with the negative Surfer. And if I can't, we're sure going to find out together. Because this as a 2/5 that gets +2 every time, like, let's go. I can Surfer and drop this on the last turn of the game for only 4 energy. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah. On my Wong, obviously.
I would absolutely love if this is finally the card that turns negative to be permanently a meta deck. I know it's back a little bit in vogue at the moment, but we'll see how long that lasts. I think this card... It's
been 3 months.
What, is it really?
It was the number one deck in February. It was the number 4 deck last month, and now it is the number 2 and 4 as of this recording.
Okay, so, all right. I'm still a little skeptical, but that's fine. I think not talking about it comboing with other pre-existing cards, I think Gilgamesh is a cool card because it encourages you to think about increasing power. And I think with Shaw also existing, I think we're starting to get like a little package that for people who are interested in just make number go up in unconventional ways, they have reasons to play that deck. And I think it's wise of them to put more cards like that in this. Now, there's a chance it could end up being busted, as Glazer said, in negative. But I think moreover, I think it's interesting to see where it will push this extremely fringe archetype, which is all in Shaw. I'm not talking about Surfer Shaw. I'm talking about like all in Shaw decks, where it will push that type of deck. Will we get more of the Wakanda girls seeing play, things like that?
So not that Second Dinner is good about this kind of thing, so this could mean nothing, but Shaw literally says the word permanently on him, and Gilgamesh does not. So it's possible shit like Blue Marvel would work for him, at which point he's completely broken.
That's fair. Yeah. We will find out in June. All right, what is our second Marvel? I want you to remember that Eternals is a movie that you can watch on Disney Plus right now. Stream it. We've got Athena, Angelina Jolie. Yeah. All right. 2 cost, 1 strength, series 5, 6K tokens. After each turn, +3 power if you play exactly 2 cards. All right, Ben, what you got for us?
I'm just going to come right out and say it. This card sucks. I don't think that this card will be... I don't know. It's going to have to be played in some sort of, again, like Kitty combo, some like small type deck where you can constantly always play at least 2 cards. But I mean, you'd have to hit this, I would say, twice to make it viable. So at least getting this to a 2/7, which I think is possible. However, I think if you happen to get it to a 2/10, you're at that point where, again, the card can be shangable. And then you're only playing, I mean, there's just so many situations where you want to play just one big card. Because one big card in some situations are just They're more powerful. They're better. They provide you more, I would say, more benefits than it is to play two smaller type cards. Again, like I said, it's going to have to be played in some smaller type deck, but we're in a situation right now, and again, I know we're talking that this is in June, but right now, I don't think that this card, if this card was released today, I don't think you would see this card played at all.
Yeah. So, my turn. I like Thina. I like the card. I can see her fitting in Angela Kitty type of decks. Those decks are mid-range right now. We'll see how those decks evolve in future metas. I can see her fitting there. In games with Limbo, where you can drop a big 6 cost and a 1 drop like Kitty, you can get Destina buff. She usually, in a normal game, you're at least going to get her to a 2-7 most of the time, which is a pretty nice stats for a 2 cost. I don't think she's going to work with Mr. Sinister. I want to try that. I doubt that's going to work because Mr. Sinister will count as one card because he clones and becomes two. I don't think it's going to work, but I'll try it once. Yeah, it won't work, but I'll still try it. Yeah, I mean, she's easy to get to a decent power. A bit restrictive, yeah, but yeah, most of the time you can easily play two cards if you have Kitties or a one drops in your deck. Yeah, I think Thina's gonna be a nice card. Not top meta card, but not meme type of card that just doesn't work and you just wanna meme around with it in some specific decks.
She's a really solid zoo card, but doesn't have another home. Like, you bast her on turn one, right? You play her on two or you play Angela on two, it doesn't matter. You'd rather play her. And then you go Kitty her, Bishop her. Kitty, Angela, Bishop, Kitty, and then you go Kitty and whatchamacallit, Black Swan, and then you just drop a million ones and you have like a 14 power Thina, and if they're shunning that, they probably don't have enough power to compete elsewhere. It's a perfectly viable strategy. I don't think it's tier one, it requires a lot to go right, but I don't give a shit. I enjoy Zoo, so I think this is a fun card. That's, again, the theme of the month is these are fun cards. This is not going to be meta, but I enjoy this card.
Yeah, I agree with Glazer. That's a zoo card. I think Kitty is what makes this card possible, because on three, if you play her Kitty, she triggers, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she counts herself, right? So I think she's a bit more flexible than some other like payoff cards that don't necessarily trigger off themselves. And if you draw, like, if you draw her in the middle of the game, the turns three, turns four, like her and a two drop on four, she triggers, right? Like, yes. I think she has a way more flexibility there, and I think that makes her a solid role player. This is not a card that I think creates new archetypes, but I think archetypes that are about playing multiple cards definitely want her. And I hope this is actually more design space that they explore, like encouraging you to play a specific number of cards, two in this case, maybe three. Something like that. Excuse me. To do something, I think, is like really interesting. It makes you ask questions in deck building.
I mean, this is just Glenn being like, I miss blue white.
Yeah. Oh, it's blue red, actually. It's usually two spells.
Really? Turn. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's been a while.
I know. It's okay. I'm thinking about a Pioneer tournament that I want to play in next weekend. But anyway, that's not here nor there. What we have is the ugliest art in Marvel Snap in a long time. That is like insulting to the actress who played Cersei and the artist who drew her previously, including Jack Kirby. But we'll get past this, like, this art. She's 5'7", series 5. On reveal, transform your other cards into random cards that cost one more if able. Lufku, what you got?
Cersei's just gonna be a gamba card. Sometimes she can be really helpful and turn your bad cards in that lane, turn your Hood into a nice 2 card, maybe turn your Void into a nice 5 cost. I can see her working in those any type of decks because you just get rid of the negative cards and make them better cards. but a lot can go wrong with this. With this, because you just pull a play Hood, then play Cersei on top of Hood. Hood turns into Carnage. Your lane just gets destroyed. So a lot can go right, and a lot can go wrong. She's gonna be a fun card, that's for sure. But she can really mess up a game. So I don't see her being in the deck that you use in a game 5 on Infinite Conquest. Because on this type of games, you want to be sure what's your strategy. Most of the time, you don't want to leave. You want to try to avoid RNG as much as possible and just stick to your strategy. So I don't see her being in those type of meta decks. I can see her finding a nice home in the unexpected decks, I'd say.
Yeah, I think this is just a fun, goofy card. There's not really... I don't think it's really going to find a home specifically anywhere other than maybe, like... I mean, it might actually create its own little like archetype where you're just trying to, I guess it would technically be like a Mr. Negative type thing where you're just trying to throw together a bunch of great on reveal cards that have really low power, like something like White Tiger or something, where you could just throw that into the lane on turn 6 and then White Tiger becomes like a, you know, one of the 5 drops that are in the game or one of the 6 drops that are in the game. But I don't know. This one's going to just require so much testing. Like, I'm sure that there's going to be someone that comes out and has some crazy weird deck that they can build that just makes this super, super like consistent out of nowhere. But again, with anything saying random in the text box of any card has always seemed to prove, to be not very useful in Marvel Snap. I mean, Corvus has come out, you've got, you know, things like, Hellcow and Moon Knight and, you know, you've got stuff like that where random discards are just like super scary. I know this is a completely different kind of thing, but anytime you're, you know, I can just think of me playing a 5 cost card and a Tarnax and then MODOKing my whole entire hand. So like there's just so much random is never really good. You just want to know what you're playing and you want to know what's going to happen so that you can adjust for how you're going to win later on. And so I think it'll be a fun goofy card, but it probably won't be that good.
I mean, she's proof that power is power and that tears aren't a woman's only weapon. And at the end of the day, when you look at her face, it's the last thing you're going to see before you die. That's what's really important about Cersei.
Oh my god. Okay. Wow. Clearly.
I have nothing to say about this card. How do you analyze this card? It's bullshit.
How do you analyze this card? You think about the experience you have in other games with this. Like, I think this card is really dangerous.
Yeah, it's fun.
I don't think it's fun. I think it's actually a powerful mid-range card.
No way.
Because the people have to do the math. Like, if overall the median income, or excuse me, outcome, not income, the median outcome of it is that you get a slight buff to your board, it is worth the gamble, particularly in how disposable Marvel Snap games are. Like, again, I'm pointing you, maybe no one else besides me here has experience with Hearthstone, but these cards in Hearthstone always prove to be better than everybody thought they were going to be. We've also seen random cards be better than people thought they would be in Marvel Snap. Right, I think that this is a potentially very powerful card that you will see. I think it's actually a secret mid-range card, and that wants to upgrade its sort of to roll the dice to upgrade its board and turn its 4 drops into 5 drops and hope or its 5 drops in you know. Into 6 drops on the last turn. Like, it's.
I think Snap is too hyper specific for that.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Like, if you're turning your 4 drops into 5 drops at random, right? Like it doesn't take a lot to be like Doc Ock and MODOK. And like, just you get like, or Lady Deathstrike, that's completely. Like, it's possible you get good stuff. But like, Snap because Snap's decks are built so synergistically, I don't think that works the same way it would in another game. I would like to be wrong, because I think it would be stupid fun, but we shall see.
We shall. All right. Speaking of seeing, let's see the next card. All right, it's Makari. Is that how you say this? I really can't remember from the movie.
Makari.
Makari. All right. She's a 3/3, series 5, 6K tokens. She says, after the turn, runs from your hand to a random location, if able. I think we're on Ben. Am I right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. All right. I mean, I'm assuming by the text of this card, it just means that if it's in your hand, it just goes onto the board. So, I mean, I don't see this being bad. I mean, this is a free 3 on top of, let's say, Surfer. I mean, you just have another Surfer card that you're playing for basically free. But I mean, it's, again, it's a 3/3. It's the middle of the road. It is your baseline card. I think a lot of people are going to be just like slapping this into, I don't know, pretty much. This could just be like the one card that everybody puts into whatever deck they make, because it's just so consistent. And the fact that you can just, like I said, you can just play something else and then this just comes onto the board as well. I mean, you could turn your third turn can turn into you playing any 3-drop. And then on top of that, a whole nother 3-drop with 3 power coming onto the board just seems good in my opinion. It's consistent. It's reliable. I think it's decent. It's good.
Yeah. Makari looks like a decent card. I mean, it looks like a great card. It's in the actual version of Makari, because it might end up changing again. The actual version is in both Cerebro 3 and Surfer range, and that's great, because in Cerebro 3, a card that just comes out of nowhere from your hand and goes into the board is going to be either 5 or 7 power card out of nothing, so that is great. But there's also the negative stuff, which is if in a game there's Bar Sinister, and Makari just runs to Bar Sinister, and you lose the game because Makari ran into Bar Sinister. So, not in every deck, but I'd also try to add a card that can't help you control locations. Maybe a Rhino or a Scarlet Witch, Legion, those cards. Just in case that Makari goes into a location that just messes your whole game. Just in case. I know a lot of people are just gonna put Makari and let her run whenever she wants. But those people that want to be careful are most likely going to be running some type of location control card, because she can win you the game, but she can also mess you up really bad if she goes into the wrong location.
I don't think she's actually worth running. Like, I think decks are tight enough with 12 cards. Like, even in Surfer, like, I look at my Surfer list and I'm like, what am I cutting for this? Absorbing Man? No. Right? Like, I'm not running a multiple good cards that I want to play in Surfer. I don't think I can fit this. I think it's really good, potentially, but, like, I think Surfer now has too many good cards. Cerebro 3 now has too many good cards. And trying to fit this that can, like, mess up my combos is probably not worth the trouble, because I feel like those decks are, at this point, combo decks. Like, if, like, you play this and, like, you fill a Brood location early, you're just like, damn it, right? Like, there's just too many of those situations. You're playing Cerebro and it jumps into the location that gives +5 power, and you're like, well, there goes my game plan, right? Like, I think I'm skipping this. I mean, look, I'm getting it because I get every card, but I don't think this is good.
She's not like Proxima, right? Where she can go to any location?
Yep. I mean, she to a random location.
Right, but can she go into Sanctum Sanctorum?
Yeah.
Okay. So she is like Proxima. Okay.
Well, because it would have to be completely random.
Right. No, I'm just saying, but she does have that upside. She can go into.
Yes. So, but she wouldn't be able to run into
Space
Throne. Miniaturized Lab. Or right. Be a second card in Space Throne or whatever.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to our final card of the.
It is not, sir.
There's another one after
two
this?
More.
There's two more? How long is June?
It's so long that it actually goes into July.
Oh, geez. Okay. Why is it going on into July? All right.
I don't know. I'm not.
All right. Glenn Jones. Fast, is that how you say this?
Sure.
All right. Series 5, 6K tokens. He's a 3/3. On reveal, give each card in your deck minus one cost or plus two power. Ben, what you got for us?
I feel like this card might actually just be... I feel like this card might be really good. I think this card's going to be manipulated into a certain way where you're going to see it everywhere. Like, people are going to start finding ways to just pull this off and get so much out of it that it's going to be stupid not to run it. And I think this is the card maybe, quite possibly, to get this month. I'm looking at pretty much everything, and even the ones that we're considering and the one that we're going to be talking about in a bit. But this just stands out to me. It just looks so powerful. Just everything about it sounds good to me. There's not one thing here that I can say that seems negative. Like everything I'm looking at with this card seems like, why wouldn't you put this in pretty much arguably every deck you're going to be running? It's just really good. I mean, I've very rarely, I think I've spent tokens on cards, maybe like for Jeff and OG Galactus. This is probably going to be that third card that I spend tokens on. It is just going to be, it's going to be a stalwart. It's going to be the card that you need to get.
Yeah, Fastos just is a great card that you can fit everywhere. Because what deck doesn't want plus two power or minus one cost to your cards? Every deck wants that. So Fastos is going to be really great in, yeah, almost every deck. Another thing that is good for him is Fastos is an unreveal. So if you play him in one, your cards are either going to get minus two cost, plus four power, or minus one cost and the plus two power. If you play Fastos on a Wong, and if you just play Wong Mystic, then your cards are just going to be really cheap and really powerful. You're also not going to draw a lot of those cards if you try to go after certain combos. But still, you're going to get cards cheaper, cards with bigger power. That's just a great card overall. It's going to fit in almost every deck. Once Fastos comes out, he's gonna be really high in the play cards. Yeah, he's gonna be a great card.
I mean, easy yes. This is the card of the month. This is the exception when I said this is a fun month. This is obviously gonna be great. Right? Like, I don't know if it goes everywhere, but it certainly goes in Surfer, right? Like, where Surfer is just like, if you get a Brood or a Forge with the plus two or the negative one, you're in heaven. Like, you're just, you can drop this on a Hope, God, 2/4 Hope, whatever. It's just the sheer, or 3/6 Hope, who cares? Whatever the hell you get, however this works, there is no downside. This is the card of the month. Yeah, card of the month.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally, the only reason to not run this card in every deck is there's a 12 card deck, and there might be a card that has more explicit synergy. But, like, literally, do you not want your card to be minus one cost or plus two power? Like, why would you not want that? I mean, I guess the cost is playing a three cost card that has only three strength, but it's a drawback you can get around. I actually hope that this does superpower Surfer. The quick Surfer question: the minus one costed cards, though, do they still get triggered by Surfer on the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like if Sarah.
Just like Sarah? Cool. All right. So yeah, busted, particularly in
or
Surfer.
Or negative or whatever.
Yeah. I hope that this is what kicks Surfer back into the stratosphere.
I mean, Surfer is one of the best decks right now. I hit Infinite with Surfer. Surfer was the number one deck again. Surfer is legit.
This card alone will make Surfer the best card in the game, without a doubt.
I don't know about all that. It depends where the meta goes.
Yeah, that's true.
It depends where the meta goes, right? Like, there's complicated things. And, like, cards like look. Whenever Surfer gets really good, I'm like, you know, you could just run Cosmo. Right? Like Surfer's really good right now, but Surfer, like, needs support And like, you could run Cosmo, you could run Magneto and screw up my ordering, right? Like, there's ways around Surfer right now. Cannonball is hilariously obnoxious to Surfer decks, just for the record. But like, I don't think Surfer is going to be necessarily auto best, but I think it's good enough that I'm very interested in like enjoying it. Like, I think it'll be like tier one and not like borderline anymore.
All right. Let's talk about Arashim. So the big bag celestial himself, he's a 7/7. What is this? What? How does that work? Series 5, 6K tokens at the start of the game, plus one max energy. Shuffle 12 random cards into your deck. So a couple of quick clarifying questions. This turns your deck into a 23 card deck?
25.
Did you start with Arashim?
24.
Is he like, 24. You don't start with him in your hand, though, right?
Nope. It's not. Doesn't say it. Nope.
Okay, so 24. All right, card deck. Okay, so there we go.
So you obviously want to run him in a Thanos deck.
Yes, obviously. Obviously you want to run him in a Thanos deck. Just have all the cards in it. You can have a Magic draft-sized draft deck at that point. All right, Luf, what you got for us?
Arisim is just the top of the... This season is just full of RNG, full of random cards. Except Gilgamesh, all of the cards have a random thing in them. Cersei transforms the cards at random. Makari runs to a random location. Fastos gives random of one of the two effects. And this is just the top of the random stuff. It's going to be a fun card. It's not going to be a great card. But I can see some people doing like Agatha Arishem decks and playing friendlies just for fun, because those decks are gonna go crazy fun. Just embrace the random with this card. I don't see it being top tier card, but I can see it being a really fun card to use. Yeah, that's pretty much how I see Arishem.
Yeah, I'll keep it short. That's gonna be a fun content card. It's gonna be fun to goof around with people, kind of like Lufku said. Just make goofy decks with this thing. It's gonna be fun to, maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll try to get to infinite with Arishem. That sounds like a fun, dumb thing to do. But yeah, I mean, I can't see this card being meta. It's not gonna probably ever really be great. The plus one max energy is good, but I mean, the consistency, we've talked about that with Marvel Snap. It's all about consistency, and we're talking about randomness here. Randomness is usually never a good thing. Yes, it could work out in your favor, but I mean, I just, the card's not gonna, it's not gonna be a good card.
This should just give like 6 or 8. I think 12 is a little excessive. That said, I'm play the shit out of this. It could also be like 12 power, by the way, like with this negative ability, right? Like 7/7 is a little on the low side, but whatever. I don't give a shit. This is going to be super fun. I don't care, right? Like, I will be playing this immediately and playing the shit out of this, and I will happily tank my rank, and we'll worry about that from there. But I think this is cool.
I'm going to bet that this card is better than people think it's going to be. It's ramp. Plus, you still get to keep your 12 original cards or 11 other cards. All right. And 12 random cards, which could end up being more synergistic than you think. I actually think that Arashim is going to end up being way better than people think it's going to be. Do I think it's going to be tier zero? But I think it could end up being a much more powerful and consistent mid-range deck than people think it's going to be. Plus one energy is busted, friends. Busted, busted, busted.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's get to our final segment of the week. We just have data mined variants for our variants of the week. And our first one is the Dan Hip Beta Ray Bill. Who picked that one?
That was me. I just love how goofy he looks. He looks so dorky, and I love it.
That's a really great one. Oh, go ahead.
I love that variant. Just that would have been my pick if you didn't pick it, just for the record. It's my favorite hip coming.
We're connected somewhere.
Oh, yeah. All right. We have sort of magic, bikini era magic. Who picked this one?
I picked that magic. Since I played with magic in the Midnight Suns games, I just really like the character, and she has some amazing variants.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one of those amazing variants. There are a lot of really good ones, but I mean, downhill variants, the Datamine ones are great. A lot of other variants, Alex Rose, also deserves to be on the top tier list, because the Beast and the Ultron of Alex Rose, those are another great variants. But yeah, I just really like magic, and I like this variant, so I chose it.
I picked this Corvus Glaive. I don't know why I like it so much. I genuinely could not tell you. Something about it I think is really cool. It appeals to the 17-year-old in me. It's like a Hollow Knight Castlevania character version of Corvus Glaive, and I am here for it. Also, since Corvus does not have a variant outside of the spotlight, I would like to have a Corvus variant. It annoys me to no end that I don't.
Completely fair. I picked this Phoenix Force variant. I think it's a really awesome interpretation of Phoenix Force. It plays into the sort of like more mystical, so I'm looking for a metaphorical side of the Phoenix Force. Old heads who enjoy early Jay and Miles Explain the X-Men episodes will definitely understand when we talk about Phoenix Force as metaphor. But yeah, I think it's just a really powerful version of that. In many ways, it's maybe more of a Jean variant than it is a Phoenix Force one, but I think it is a really cool and standout variant. So, all right, friends, we are slowly but surely wrapping up this show. All right, Lufku, this is your chance. If our loyal listeners became your loyal viewers or loyal listeners, what would they find if they watched your content?
In my tweets, you can find me just playing decks that I see on Twitter, or just playing decks that I like. Big fan of Iron Patriot. On Saturdays, I always do, unless some weird thing happens, I always do draft battles against other content creators.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun thing to do, and I've seen more people doing it lately. But when I started, I barely saw anyone doing draft battles type of things. So they can see me do that on Saturdays. Now, on my YouTube, right now my YouTube is just a lot of my league games, because I record them and upload them to my YouTube. But I also do the guides or just challenges, like the Cerebro challenge that I did the other day, or a combo challenge that I pulled off in another stream. That's what they can see in my YouTube and Twitch. And on Twitter, it's just me posting stuff about Snap, decks, variants that I get, splits, just Snap stuff.
So Lufku is all about the community. Everything he said, whether it be league tournaments, whether it be draft battles, there's always other creators involved. There's always other people. It's a very like collective experience. I think it's really, really enjoyable. I'll often like hop onto a stream and then be back and forth between two streamers, both he and whoever he's playing. And I think it's a genuine blast. That kind of community going across streams is really rare. It's something, obviously, given this podcast, that we're big fans of here on Snap Judgments. And I love Lufu's sense of community, and I'm thrilled to have him on. And also, just before we go further, I'm also going to immediately invite both of you back when I'm able to like have air in my lungs and such.
Ben, my friend, if our loyal listeners and loyal viewers to become your loyal listeners and loyal viewers, what would they find in your content?
Not much right now. I took quite a mental health break just to get away from things. Things kind of got a little, I think I kind of got more traction than I expected to, and stuff got to me, and so I tried to just step back for a little bit. But then when I stepped back, they invited me to the partner program. So here I am. But you can expect me to be streaming about 2 to 3 times during the week. I usually stream in the mornings because right now I am unemployed. So I have the time in the mornings while my wife is working very hardly to support us. And then also I, you know, my YouTube is also taking a break, but hopefully we will be doing a lot more deck guides and stuff like that at least 2 to 3 times a week. And just trying to get consistent again. Consistency is key. So hopefully I can start building up all that stuff again, and also doing nice little giveaways and viewer battles and all that good stuff. So.
Ben is extraordinarily passionate about this game. If you care about Marvel Snap, you care about the community, you care about the health and growth of the game, he's going to... Cattail popped up on my screen, sorry. He's going to give you unfiltered... I just couldn't tell what it was. I was like, what the fuck? He's going to give you his unfiltered views. It's not always going to be positive, but it's always going to be really thought-provoking and really heartfelt. And I don't know about you, but when I'm involved in something, I care about passion. I want love, even if I don't always agree with it. And Ben is a wonderful place to get that passion.
Thank you.
Very welcome.
It's awesome. Well, that brings us to my favorite segment of every episode. And this one's going to be a very special time. It's going to be the only time shortly thereafter Glazer had his appendix removed that he reads all of our loyal supporters of Patreon. So Glazer, go ahead.
I do it every day, man. It's fine. Abigail Gieslin, Mandatory Burnout, Cables, David G. Wingfield, Direwolf, L.A.B., Fawthorne Newman, Good Dog Gamer, Inc., Jane Every, Jane McDonald, Ian Hill, Kira Tixley, Koi Ray, KCH, John O'Golding, Doku, Philip Rakovich, Haplo, Kenny Loggins, Juan Diego Lebed, The Bizza, X-Force V, Skippy G, Tommy Nyquist, Black Dahlia, The Great Kazoo, Jessica Gamble, Ryan Wood, Welcome to the Club, Kevin Cihora, Models, Louis Antunes, Matt H., Mikey Hijinks, Noflex, Ocularis, Craig Sterry, Pretty Chill, Seamus, Spike Jones, Two Ties, The Perry King Tucker, The Homie Min, and of course, Gunny T.
Amazing. And with very little ability to get oxygen in his lungs. Really nice. Appreciated Aaron doing that. And we also appreciate you, Ben, for joining us this evening. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Snap Judgments.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. It was really, really fun.
Awesome. Same is true for you, Luthku. Thank you for being an amazing guest. We really appreciated having you on.
Thank you for having me. It was really fun to do this.
Awesome, awesome. And I want to say double thanks to my friend and yours, Aaron Glazer. Aaron, I hope that this episode restored that 1/57th of you that the doctors removed when your appendix was removed a few short days ago. But more seriously, Aaron, I am so glad to see you recovering, to hear you recovering. And I know our loyal listeners and loyal viewers feel the same way. So please keep on healing, my friend. Take care of yourself. There is more to life than Marvel Snap.
Peace and love and snap.
All right, friends. That brings us to the end of another episode of Snap Judgments. Till next time, make good choices, stay safe, and keep on snapping.